what a privilege, isn't it? Small people like us to be able to pray for such world leaders. And our God hears us. So praise the Lord. Today, the Lord has taken us to 12 wonderful places in His Word the last 12 weeks to see and to taste Him differently in the way He ministers to the people. Sometimes He broke us to repent like He did at Bochum. Sometimes in the midst of fear, running, loneliness, He appeared to an undeserving deceiver like Jacob at Bethel, right? Then He took us to Gilgal, right on the doorsteps of God's promised land. And yet even then, He was teaching them. It wasn't about the land. He made them sit for a while before He conquered the land so that the people, His people, would learn that we are His people. And our values and our strength does not come in what we conquer, but it comes in our relationship with Him. And last week we went to Elam, an oasis in the middle of a desert that shouldn't exist, and yet there He was. How do you get 12 springs in the desert? Impossible. And yet God created and planted 70 trees to comfort, to refresh, and to renew these people so they can continue the march through the desert the next 40 years to enter the promised land. Today, God takes us literally into the promised land, and we're going to come and visit a place called Bethany. So let me read for us. The word of the Lord is from Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to be reading verse 50 to 53. This is the reading of God's word. When He led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Praising God. Now, right outside of my window, my study at home, I see a couple of trees. During this past winter, I noticed they looked the same. Both of them were void of any leaves, and so empty branches. But as spring rolled in, they began to bear leaves. And you know, I began to see a difference, because one tree began to look very green. Bright green leaves filled her branches. Meanwhile, the same-looking tree, only a few feet away, looked very different, as white flowers began to fill her branches. At one time, they looked so similar, but in due time, they looked very different. Likewise, in our lives, many people look like the wintertime, very similar. But in due time, we will bear different values, because we are different trees. Let's understand, just as our God gave different colors and flowers to each tree, so He has given to all of us people different nature, especially different kingdom. And as God has given us, we should learn to bear the appropriate colors in our lives. And I was just thinking about the world and us, and I thought, boy, I actually think the people of the world live a little more consistently than Christians do, according to the kingdom value. They live consistent to their kingdom value. Meanwhile, for God's people living in this world, we at times look confused and act confused, because we keep mistaking that this is home, when it really isn't, when home is somewhere else. So today, we would like to think about home, but more most of all, what kind of people we should be living in this world as Jesus invites us to this place called Bethany. In the scriptures, there are several events that occurred in Bethany. Bethany is a village on the Mount of Olives, less than 2 miles east of Jerusalem. It was the home of the sisters Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, who was raised from the dead by Jesus. You remember that? I learned that today the village is named Al-Azariya. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it. But the village name, that's Arabic for Lazarus. So they're making that connection with scripture. It was in Bethany that a woman poured a bottle of expensive perfume over Jesus' head while he was dining in the home of Simon the leper. Jesus lodged in Bethany during his final days in Jerusalem before his crucifixion. The Palm Sunday procession started out from Bethany. After Jesus has risen, he led his disciples on the road to Bethany, and somewhere on that road, he blessed his followers, and then he rose up into heaven. That's the Bethany we will visit today. Jesus' final place, he set foot before his ascension. Question first though, what do you think is the reason for the presidency of the United States of America? You know, the president is elected to bless our citizens, to keep us safe and protected, and lead us to be healthy and thriving, so we will live well as the citizens of our wonderful country. Now, while I do not believe he is perfect, but as far as I could honestly see, the reason why I support President Trump is because I believe he is truly acting for the well-being of the citizens of our country as best as he knows how. Amen. And just as our parents try to do their best to care for their children, but let's not kid ourselves, they weren't perfect. So is our president. I can point out for you many things that I disagree with him that I think he's imperfect of. But this, I have no doubt of his true intention. Very noble, to really want the best for the citizens. That's why I think I'm really, really saddened when I watch the news, because the ugly negative ways that he is usually portrayed by CNN, oh man, for the longest time I used to get most of my news from CNN and ABC. I don't watch that anymore, because they distort it so much. It is so disappointing, and it is so ugly. But nonetheless, the point I'm trying to make here is this. As good intention our parents had in raising us, and yet they were imperfect. As good intention that our president has for the citizens, yet he's imperfect. I want you to see that our God is very different than our president, different than our parents. See, though human leaders tried their best, but did them imperfectly, our God is perfect in all the ways he does. And the amazing goodness of God's perfection is this. His great intention is to bless us. You know, even with our parents and even the president, as great of their intentions it is because they're imperfect, sometimes they will hurt us. Sometimes they will do things that are wrong. And that's the difference with our God. He is perfect. And in his perfection, when he never makes a mistake, what is his intention? God's perfect intention is to bless us. Let me do a little recap of the history of mankind to see this. To bless his people, God created the entire universe so that all his children would live and enjoy and thrive under his good creation, the world. He made it good to bless his children. To bless his people, God predestined and called sinners who were deserving his wrath to become the righteous children of our majestic God, blessing us with this inheritance, and then even exalting and raising us, undeserving people, to become what? Prince? Princesses? Oh, I was so wrong when I was young, when I had such low self-esteem and self-confidence, and saw myself as an ugly duckling. When God's truth taught me, I am a prince. You are a prince and princess. To bless his people, Jesus was born to be crucified, for he volunteered to come to this world. Why? To receive the wages of the sins of his people. Friends, who volunteers to get punished? Who volunteers to get cursed? And yet, that's what Jesus did for us. Which is why he was nailed on the cross for us. To bless his people, Jesus rose from his death to become the first fruit of the resurrection, so that all these people who deserve to suffer the bitterness of death because of our sins will be held in his hands, so that he can lift us up from our death, just as he rose from death. Oh, folks, the world says death is final. 60 under is where you lie eternally. For them, perhaps, in their thoughts, maybe, God's truth says, no, you will be raised. So whenever I lead a funeral, during the graveside worship, I always, always tell them, no, your loved ones, your mom, your dad. In fact, remember a few months ago, I went to lead a funeral of a 100-year-old man that I'd known him a long time. And all the family grieving, and I was reminding and teaching them, Grandpa, Dad, our elder, that's not where he is. While we are saying goodbye, you know what says, you know what is the choir voice, what is the vibe, what is the words that he hears? While we say goodbye to him in heaven, they say, welcome home, welcome home. That's what happens to God's people whose hands are held with Jesus. To bless his people, Jesus ascended and now is seated in heaven, not to rest. We sit to rest. He sits to intercede for his people ceaselessly. Hebrews 7:25. He sits at the right hand of the majesty, praying for us ceaselessly. Did you know God, our Lord Jesus, prays for you more than you pray for yourself? He prays for me more than I pray for me and you. And not only is he just praying ceaselessly, somehow, he finds the strength and the grace to also complete our eternal home. He's preparing to be ready before our arrival. To bless his people, Jesus will return to our world to call us to join him in his eternal home, so that we will dwell in his everlasting, peaceful, joyful, love-filled, and love-overflowing kingdom. That's where our home is. And to bless his people, the Father will beautify all his people so completely that we will radiate with his glory as he transforms us to become the perfect, beautiful, exalted bride of his Son, Christ Jesus. Imagine that. All of this amazing work of God, even from before the beginning of the creation to the end of the world, unto all eternity, all that our God did, does, and will do, will be with one purpose in mind. And what is that? To bless his people. Our God does all of those things to bless his children. So today, I want us to visit and stay a while at this place, city called Bethany, and taste how Jesus blessed his people before he departed from this world and entered into his glory in his kingdom. Remember, only a few days ago, Jesus suffered an excruciating death the Romans invented to punish. To punish the worst of criminals, they called it death by crucifixion. This painful death intensified because the unbreakable bond with his everlasting Father was broken. Remember what he cried out in the cross, on the cross, right? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, why? Now, sadly, prior to his tear from the Father, did you know Jesus already tasted the bitterness of betrayal from his disciples, for whom he poured out his love day and night? And from the people that he came to save, rather than thanking their Savior a million times over, what did they do? Some people literally spat on him, mocked him, ridiculed him. Others even dared to hit him. And they all in unison cried out with one voice, "Crucify him." Though he came to bear their sin, their shame. Despite the awful and painful death Jesus suffered, death was not final. Though he was placed inside a tomb, the stone rolled away, Gilgal, and the place where he once laid was empty, Jabbok. The woman and the disciples went to check, but he was nowhere to be found. Though the tears flowed and the heartache and the disappointment sank deep in their hearts, for 3 days, silence ruled, almost as if God had nothing to say, almost as if God was absent. But friends, let me remind you and teach us again, his silence does not mean his absence. I want you to know that. His silence does not mean his absence. To the shock and fear of the disciples, Jesus appeared to them in numerous places, showed them again and again, taught them again and again, and yet, despite the multiple times he appeared before his disciples after his resurrection, yet they couldn't overcome their fear and guilt and shame and even doubt. But each time he came and appeared to them, did you know Jesus did not visit them with a rod to strike them for their foolishness, to punish them in anger or disappointment, though that was what they deserved? But no, Jesus visited them each time to bless them. Friends, Jesus did not give his disciples what they deserved, but he gave them his grace, though they were not deserving. And I thought, oh, what a way to treat people. What a way to treat people. To not treat others as they deserve, but to treat others with God's loving character, with his mercy and grace. This is a difficult sentence for me, because I'll be honest with you and I will confess, I don't know how to do this well. The sense of justice in me, my temperament, my inferior complex, my foolishness, all the shortcomings I have, I want to give them what they deserve, an eye for an eye. And after writing this sentence, I wrote, oh boy, the way Jesus treated them is what I am praying that I can do. And I thought I'll lift you up as well. How great it will be if all of us, if each of you if we learn to treat each other, not with my sense of fairness or justice, but if we learn to treat each other the way Jesus treats us. I don't know what you look most forward to when you get to heaven. For me, this is one of the things that excites me about heaven. Every single person will be treated the way Jesus treats us. I don't know how to do that well, but I know in heaven, He will transform me and transform all of us to learn how to treat each other the way Jesus treats us. No more according to our temperaments. No more according to our hurts and pain and foolishness. No more of that. No more of you. Jesus in me, Jesus in you. Learning to treat each other the way Jesus treats us. Blessings. That's what blessings is all about. Blessing is not just to feed people with a few bread and fish. Blessing is not just to be kind and open a door. Blessing is not just to give a few dollars here and there. Those are wonderful tokens. True blessings of Jesus is to learn how to speak and treat each other the way Jesus does that. Friends, did you know God's grace and His graciousness in this world are not showered only to His disciples? Actually, they're given to all people. It is amazing to witness that while many of His creatures are dissing Him, rebelling against Him, even cursing Him, yet not once does our God withhold oxygen from them to breathe. Not once does He withhold the sun from shining unto them. Though God created the world for His children to dwell and enjoy, and yet even to the rebels, to the agnostics, to the atheists, to the idol worshippers, and to all the sinners, God still sends His rain for their crops and their plants and their flowers to grow. The heart of our God is so gracious and generous that everyone, including the non-believers, all reap the benefit of the goodness He showers to the world. Friends, did you ever see the rain or the sun shine only on God's people, while the non-believers walking next to them have a dark cloud completely over them? No, when God sends the sun, He shines to everyone. And when God sends the rain, both His children and the non-believers, we all get wet. Now, having said that, while we live in this world, even the non-believers receive this incredible grace of God showered to them, I want you to also understand this much. At the end of times, however, at the end of times, only God's children will enter into His glorious kingdom. There will be a day of separation on that final day of judgment. And what a frightening day that is when the judgment comes. You know, God will place all people either to His right or to His left. And on the people to the left, He will send them to the lake of fire to live in an eternal, never-ending agony called hell. That's why it's so frightening to think about non-believing family members or friends, the people we meet. We know where they're going, eternal agony in hell. The people to the left. But for the people on His right, their people, how do you get to the right? They are people who believe by faith Jesus' cross and resurrection was for their sins. And for those people, God would usher them into God's perfect everlasting kingdom for us to enjoy and to dwell in that beautiful kingdom of God. That's called heaven. That's our home. And so before that departure to that kingdom, we meet Jesus. So let me bring it down a little bit down to us. Let me read Luke 24. I said, Isaiah, my nephew, just had a son, I think yesterday, named Isaiah. So I keep thinking Isaiah, forgive me. Luke 24, verse 50-51. When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Though his dying breath from the cross was agonizing, but his final departure here is truly uplifting, as we are told. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Folks, he wasn't just waving goodbye as he left. He didn't just wish them good luck as he left. The final picture Jesus gave for his disciples to behold and to remember the Lord and Savior and King and God, what was this? This is the final picture he had for his disciples to behold and to always remember. He says, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, that's how he left. So people of God, can I remind you, can I once again call on you to understand, we are a people who are blessed. And his blessings do not stop and will not stop in all of eternity. Brothers and sisters, when we are the people in this world, that's what we want to pray about. That they will be able to experience with us and from us blessings we first received from Jesus. So when we speak with people, may they experience Jesus' sweet words, for they are full of truth and full of his grace. Truth and grace is how he spoke. Remember, sometimes in our world, they like us to speak differently. In our world, there are many evil things. You know, homosexual people who get married, they come and ask us, why can't you accept our love? It's really genuine. Why are you against love? They will ask. When we speak out against abortion, they'll say, why are you against the freedom of a reproductive system for a woman? Does she not have a right to her body? They speak in things, asking us in the church not to be so hating, but loving and embracing. But friends, let's understand, Jesus does not bless the way you want to be blessed. It's got to be full of truth, full of grace, truth. So we tell the homosexual people, yes, genuine love comes from God, but because this is spoken out against you in the word, we must oppose. Lovingly, I want to tell you, please repent. Repent and humble yourself. Come under the grace of God, under his truth. When a woman wants to have an abortion, we come alongside them. Not to condemn them for their decisions. You can't imagine how harsh and how difficult and how painful that would be. We Christians should not be so arrogant to think that we know better than those women who are going through abortion. Nobody's suffering painfully as she. Nobody might have thought as much as she. We might know the scriptures, the truth, but let's not stand over them to condemn them. That's harsh, that's terrible. Let's come alongside them, sit with them, weep with them, hear their pain and say, ask them, how can we help you to accept God's truth so that you can find that and not simply what you are experiencing now? Full of truth, full of grace, is how Jesus spoke. And so let's not simply comfort people the way they want to be comforted. Let's learn to come and speak with them full of truth. But then do it in such a gracious manner that even the most difficult things to hear can be sweetly accepted, full of grace. Not only with our words, but of course with our actions as well. Where do you spend your time? At home, at church, at work, with people? Your words, not only words, but your actions, must truly exemplified and displayed and overflowed His truth, His grace. So I thought I'll give you a little practical vision that I have for the family and for the church. I don't know your workplace well, so I hope you can extend that later after this. But let me present to you two images that I have about the home and about our church, and then after that I'll come to the conclusion. I said, how can we be? Now, there's so much more than this, but I just wanted to give you a few practical things to practice today, and then hopefully throughout your days. So two images of blessing, first at home and then the church. So home, blessings at home. I think blessings at home should mean no more taking each other for granted. No more speaking rudely. No more with that terrible attitude, I'm tired, don't bother me. That's gotta go. Instead, whatever good things our family members do, let's sincerely learn to thank them each time, every time. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of complaining and whining and hating. You rarely receive compliments and thanks. I think it should be filled at home through your mouth. Let's affirm the good things they do and say, and shower them with kindness and gratitude and appreciation every day. Wow, you said it for the 30th time? You think that's too much? You did it now for 3 years? You think that's too much? Wouldn't Jesus do it every day? For as long as you live and then unto all eternity? Every morning, let's honestly share a heartfelt good day for each to have. What is the first words your spouse, your family hears? Before they leave home, should they not hear, good morning, dear. How lovely. Let it be words of blessing. Now, I think there's a great, great teacher. I don't have it, but many of you do. Many of you have pet dogs. Amazing teachers of what? Especially, I don't know much about dogs, but this much I know. Whenever the owner comes home, whenever you go home, they stop everything and come running to welcome you home, don't they? Let's learn from dogs. Can I ask you, whenever you have a family coming home, will you stop everything just for a couple of minutes, just so that you can welcome him or her? Welcome home, dear. So glad you are here. Oh, those sweet words ringing and bouncing among the walls and the ceilings and the carpets all around our home. Our home should be like that, bless us. Now, some of you don't like routine. And I say, don't do it routinely. Wow, I did it for the last 30 days. Well, do it every day as a single day, meaningfully, truthfully. Why should today's greetings be affected by yesterday? Why shouldn't today be sweeter than yesterday? Why make it into a routine when you can make it even more multiplied? You know, we really only have one day to live. Did you know God did not guarantee us tomorrow? So can I say, none of you have tomorrow. And if today is your only day, how should we live? Look at the bride you married 37 years ago. Every day, honor her, cherish her, and tell her how beautiful she is, how lovely she is. Don't assume they know. Words not spoken are the dumbest words. Say it. Mean it. Taking our family for granted, to me, is a terrible sin. So let's do that in our hearts. Let's bless our family. Every week or every month, come out with something new. Search. Pray. Come out with something new to bless. And if you don't know what else to do, then do some research through YouTube. Type, how do I bless my family more? And I'm sure you get a lot of examples. Do that. Learn from people. Blessings are that. Practical things. Now, there was one other place I wanted us to practically bless, and that was a church. And I thought, coming to church sometimes is like going to a sporting event. We come to see somebody else do something. We're spectators. And I don't think that is what a church is supposed to be. We're coming to the Father's house to rest in His bosom, to tell Him our cares and concerns, and to also listen and learn our siblings' cares and concerns. When was the last time you had the comfort to speak of your pain in the church? Or should I say, when was the last time you sat during fellowship and heard somebody's tears and pain and struggles? Who of us don't have struggles? Who of us are not on the verge of depression and loneliness and pain? I do. Sadly, not many people ask me. That's what I miss most about my closest friends. In my darkest hours, they just thought Joshua is always this gung-ho, courageous person. So now they're asking me, how you doing, bro? When I was ready to weep and break down, nobody asked. For so 12 years, I didn't cry. Because I didn't have anybody to cry to. I'm sorry, it wasn't for you to ask me how am I doing, because I'm not always going to open up every Sunday. But with that kind of heart with each other, let's do that. Hey, Kathy, how are you? Her husband passed away during COVID. The loneliness sometimes she will feel. To not feel his presence sitting next to her. Can't imagine. If my wife wasn't sitting next to me when we were driving, the holiness I would feel. Each of us have that, don't we? Let's not just come to church to sit, spectate, eat, and go. That isn't church. Blessings at church. You gotta change. As your pastor, I'm going to lovingly rebuke you. You got to change. Don't be so stupid. Don't be so selfish. And if you haven't done it before, good. Today's a new day. Ask, how are you? How can we serve and build each other more? Did you know the measuring stick for spiritual growth is about two things? Growing in love with Jesus, and growing in the likeness of Jesus. And these two measuring sticks should be evident in two people. Who are the two people? The first person is this, is you, is me. Am I falling deeper in love with Jesus and growing more like Him. Is that what church is doing for you? Then you come to the right church. If that is not happening to you, then maybe you should pray for a different church. Because as your pastor, I'm not doing that. I am failing. But that's not the only person. Did you know after you fall in love with Jesus and grow more like Him, did you know there's one other person you have to be mindful of? Who is that? The other person. Others around you. So because of you, are others falling deeper in love with Jesus, growing more like Jesus? So you ask, right? Ryan, you ask, is mom growing deeper in love with Jesus and growing more like Jesus because of you? Kathy, you ask, is my son, my grandchildren, falling in love more with Jesus and growing more like Him? Or do they just like my food? Yeah, through food we do that. But food is not the end. Forgive me if I've come too personal. But I love you as my family. And it's a loving rebuke I wanted to give to our members. Let me close this message. Let me reread our passage again. Luke 24, verse 50 to 53. When Jesus led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. In other words, in the end, it's all about worshiping our God for God's people. Being blessed with Jesus' blessing, what is the overflow of that? It's to worship our God with great joy. It is to praise Him with great joy. The fruit of the overflow of God's blessing over us is this. Are we worshiping and praising our God with great joy? So can I ask you, don't just come to the worship. Come to worship our God with great joy. You know, when you go to the comedy club, how do you go there? Don't you go expecting to laugh? When you go to the restaurant, how do you go there? Don't you go there hungry, expecting to eat? When you come to worship, how should you come? Come, despite our feelings and whatever we went through the week, come, desiring to worship and praise our God with great joy. That's what we desire, and I pray for all of you, for all of us, who will truly praise and worship Him with great joy, because that's whom our God deserves.